A book that caught my attention this year after I heard it mentioned by Jenny McCarthy, I think that's her name, she's an actress on Oprah. She said that they were talking about their problems in their life and issues, and she said, oh, she said, after I read Byron Katie's stuff, the work, it's called, she said, oh, it just totally changed my life. And she mentioned, so I got on the net and I Googled her. And she had a book she put out called Loving What Is, which is one of her more famous books. So I got out of the library and started reading it, and it was quite interesting. This gal, now she's probably early 60s at this point, but several years ago in the 80s, she was a severely depressed alcoholic living in Barstow, California. Yeah, in the desert. Horrible place to be. And she just raged at her family. Her kids were traumatized by her. She had a real estate business that was fairly successful, but she lost that because of her addictions and whatnot. And she finally checked herself into the one place that her insurance company would pay for, and it was a rehabilitation facility for women with eating issues. And she slept in the basement of the rehab facility because, one, the women were afraid of her, and two, she didn't think she was, and she slept on the floor, by the way, of this basement of this rehab facility because she didn't think she was worthy of a bed. This is what her self-concept was like, her self-worth was like. Well, one day she woke up, one morning she woke up in a totally different state of consciousness. She didn't recognize her own body. I mean, but she was fascinated by looking at her fingers and her limbs. She was just fascinated by it. She didn't know who she was. She didn't remember anything that happened in her life. She didn't communicate the way normal people do. And some people would say she'd had a nervous breakdown. JJ and I talked about it, and I'm thinking maybe she was a walk-in. I mean, totally different consciousness altogether. But anyway, over a course of time, she began questioning all of her beliefs and thoughts because she had a whole new frame of reference. It was like she was a clean slate. And when she did that, all of her depression and her anger and frustrations, addictions, they all just went away. And she, word of mouth, when she got back home, because she was so different, her husband she divorced her husband. He was pretty upset by her new consciousness. A lot of times when alcoholics and addicted, they're like a couple and they feed off each other. Well, he didn't like her new consciousness, so they wound up getting a divorce. Her children just couldn't believe who this was, you know. Totally different mother, wonderful person. And word got out, word of mouth got out. At this point, she didn't advertise or anything else, that she had found this peace, and everybody wanted to know, what is this peace and how did you get it? So people from all over the world would come to her home, and she would let them live with her if she wanted to. I mean, she had no preconceptions about any of this, so they might live with her for a while or whatever, and she would teach them. And she said she's no New Ager, and she didn't read any self-help books or New Age books, but she said a lot of these people who had come to her home would say namaste to her, you know, a lot of New Agers. She didn't know what that meant. She thought they were saying no mistake. And she thought, wow, these people get it, because she didn't believe that there is any mistakes, you know, in our lives. So no mistake. She thought they were very evolved. Yeah. Well, since then, her teachings have become a machine. If you go on her website, it's amazing what she's done in just a few years. She remarried her guy, Stephen Mitchell, I believe, is her new husband, and he's helped her write several books. And I've read four of them and compiled some of the information for today. And she, I'm sorry?
Byron
Katie. Byron Katie. But she goes by Katie. They call her Katie. K-A-T-I-E. She tours the world giving seminars. She has done one-on-one consultations for thousands of people. She's founded a 28-day addiction facility named the Turnaround House. She's got a 1.5-week school of the work, and then you can follow up with an institute for graduates that offers certification to teach what she teaches. And her website, by the way, is thework.com. She offers, and if you go there, you'll see she offers a lot of free audio and video that you can download and see her actually counseling with people, usually in a workshop setting, and lots of resource materials that you can download. So there's some of this stuff today. You might say, well, do you have something I can look at or a handout? Just go there, and you'll see a whole bunch of stuff she's got. It's pretty cool.
She's got her own map, too.
Her own map?
Her own app.
Or her own app? Oh, you're right. She does. Did you get ahead of me?
Yes.
Do you remember what I said? Couldn't resist. I thought James would be the one, and it was you. But he's doing the robot. Well, Katie calls the process of self-inquiry, which is what this is all about. When she questioned her own beliefs and her own thoughts that brought her the peace that she was looking for, this is called self-inquiry, and this is what she calls the work. And that's what I'm going to be covering today, but there are six basic principles. Yes?
You said these people greeted her, and I didn't understand what that was. She thought it meant something else. What did it mean?
Namaste. I bless. What is it?
I honor the divine in you. Is what?
Yeah, it's an Indian term. A lot of New Agers like to say. Haven't you seen at the end of? Well, you don't have email, but at the end of emails, they'll put Namaste or.
I wouldn't know what it meant.
Oh, is that right?
You
do? You little New Ager, you. And she thought they were saying no mistake.
Well, why were they recognizing her as something other than what she thought she was?
Well, you know, they thought she was some kind of ascended master because she was so different. Like, for example, if someone admired her husband, he was so patient with her. He would give her a nice ring, wedding ring or something, and someone would admire it, and she would give it to them and say, if you were meant to have, if you love it, you were meant to have it. And then when you don't love it, you can give it back if you want to, and you don't have to. And so he kept saying, well, can you keep your wedding ring a little bit longer? He's getting tired of buying new rings, because she was just open, you know?
Now, was she married to Jim Carrey? Jenny McCarthy.
Or
they weren't married.
Jenny McCarthy is a gal who talked about her.
Oh.
Yeah. This isn't Jenny McCarthy. No, this is, her name is Byron Katie.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wasn't Jenny Craig the weight loss?
No.
He's joking.
He's
still doing the mamba.
I know he's joking. Yeah, still doing that old mamba, right? Yes. Okay, these are... At first, before I get into the inquiry, these are some basic principles, and she's got six. And the first one is, notice when your thoughts argue
That's that handwriting that I talked about in my book.
With reality. Notice when your thoughts argue with reality. That's her foundational belief. She says, I quote, I'm a lover of what is, not because I'm a spiritual person, but because it hurts when I argue with reality. No thinking in the world can change it. What is, is. When you notice, the principle of noticing when your thoughts argue with reality is that we suffer when we believe a thought that argues with what is. She says, if you want reality to be different than it is, you might as well teach a cat to bark. You can try and try, and in the end, he will look up at you and say, meow. Now, using shoulds and shouldn'ts in our language suggests a state of mind that projects into past experiences and tries to change the present and the future. They're an evidence of wanting a different reality. You reject what's happening, so you interject should and shouldn't, as if that would change reality. Like, I should be able to trust people. Do you remember who said that? JJ mentioned it last night. Wayne. I should be able to trust people. Even though in the face of everything contrary to what was going on in his life, he would still come back to, I should be able to trust people. He was trying to change reality. My boss shouldn't ignore my intelligent input. I should have known this wouldn't work out. These are examples of these kinds of things. What you think shouldn't have happened should. And that's kind of different. What you think shouldn't have happened should. And why? Because it did. Yeah.
In Al-Anon, we used to say, don't should on yourself.
Yeah? Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. No mental arguing in the world can change reality. It only causes you stress. The more you stick to the belief that you're in control of the events and people in your life, the more you'll fight reality every step of the way. We have no idea what's going to happen to us next with total assurance, and that's what makes life exciting, even for God. Right? We don't want to know what's going to happen every step of the way.